I was never afraid of Flint in his life. And by thunder, I'll face him dead. There's £700,000, not a quarter of a mile from here. I'll not leave that much money for a drunken old seaman. Him dead, too. And there's something strange. There was an echo. And no man ever saw a ghost with a shadow. So why should a ghost's voice have an echo? It's not natural. The words calmed George Merry. Yes, that's right, he said. Now I think about it, it was like Flint's voice, but not exactly like it. It was like another person's voice. More like Ben Gunn, shouted Silver. If it was, it's still a ghost, said Dick. Ben Gunn's not here in body, any more than Flint is. But the older man laughed. Nobody minds Ben Gunn, dead or alive, cried George. The men were happy again, the colour back in their faces as they talked together and began to walk on. George Merry went first, leading the way with Silver's compass. We reached the first tall tree, but it was the wrong one. So was the second. The third was tall enough to be seen from the sea, both east and west of the island. My companions hurried on, desperate to get their hands on the £700,000 in gold, which lay somewhere under the tree shadows. Silver pulled at the rope that held me, and turned his eyes upon me with a deadly look. I could read his thoughts. So near to the gold now, everything was forgotten, his promise and the doctor's warning. I knew he hoped to take the treasure, cut every honest throat on that island, find and board the Hispaniola at night, and sail away, a rich man and a murderer. Suddenly, George Merry shouted, "All together, boys!" And the men began to run. Not 10 meters farther on, they stopped and cried out. Silver moved quickly, and the next moment we were with them. Before us was a large hole, but it was not a new hole, because grass grew on the bottom. There was no treasure. The £700,000 had gone.